Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. On a beautiful Saturday morning, thank God we are alive. We are here to learn something today and be glad in it, because you will learn something today if you just listen. Open up your heart, be receptive, and watch what enters into your mind, into your intro conversation. You have to be careful. Sometimes you don't want to hear the wrong thing, but you got to be able to say, you know what, that's not for me. Boom, discard it, keep it moving. All right, good Saturday morning, June the 1st. I tell you, summer is here, just about. I mean, we are ready. It's hot already here in South Florida. So you guys out there that's in the north that's having some cool days, don't complain. It is hot in South Florida. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to first say, give honor and thanks to God for giving us an opportunity to be here today to work in this kingdom. Father God, we just thank you for every mother and daughter around the world. I ask that you touch their hearts and minds, a spirit, that they remember that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and because of him, we are, and no other reason, and for no other reason. Because of Jesus, we are. And as Christians, we want to be the extension of his work to complete what he has started and dropped it into our laps and said, you can do these things and even greater things than I. So with that in mind, mothers and daughters around the world, no matter what our mothers have done, we can do greater things. That's the progression. And for our daughters, no matter what mistakes we've made, and no matter what we've done, she can do greater things in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you this morning. Bless the entire family. Bless the world and all the trials and tribulations. And we rebuke Satan out of our children's lives, out of our relationships with our daughters, out of our home, out of our bodies, and especially out of our minds, because if he can enter into our minds, he will control our bodies and control our lives. We just thank you for Jesus, for the protection, for guiding us, watching over us, giving up his life so that we can have a better life. And I decided to make Jesus my choice, and I'm going to take the gift that he's given me, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to enjoy it in his name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I tell you, when you think about it, man, I tell you, it's just very simple. Very simple. He's already given it to us, so let's just don't make it hard. Let's don't think about it too long. Just do it, you know. And I have a friend, he says, if you have to think about it, you've taken too long. And I just think, what does that mean? But that's the truth. You know, it just sometimes, when you think about it, then you start analyzing it and then you start trying to fix it within your reasoning and within your world, within things that are in the circumstances of your life. You try to adjust what God is telling you in your heart according to that. And then we move out and we miss the blessings because we change. We changed the order. The order was very simple, but we changed it because, you know, it's like, ah, that's just too simple. Let me see. I need to add something to that, you know, because that's just, let's make it. It's just too simple. Well, when you look back and study, and I've been doing this for the last couple of weeks and looking at some things, and the Lord shared some things with me, everything. Jesus never really, you know, made things complicated. He spoke very simple language. And rather than to go directly at someone, you know, spoke in parables. So that's something that I was thinking of, you know, if we learn to do that, then we wouldn't hurt people's feelings. You know, he did not go directly to someone and just spoke to them like that, or that he would tell them in parables, you know, and then you figure it out. You take what it means to you in your life, but never was a direct attempt to tell someone what they did or did not do. He would speak in parables. So that's just something I'm throwing out at you. It came up in my heart that I'm experimenting with now, with even with myself, is looking at the way you spoke. And in that way, it softens the blow. For your newcomers just coming on, I'm your host this morning, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, here on Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. And we have the pleasure to have mothers and daughters connecting to us from around the world. That's the good thing. And you say, well, how do you know that? There's a system that you can check in and see who's on the internet and, you know, where they're at, and kind of get a feel for your audience. That's how you get your ratings and things of that nature. So I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for listening and taking time out of your busy schedule. And it just amazes me that you get up on Saturday morning and come to listen to what the Lord is saying through me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I value that. And I try to make sure that I make myself available so that the Lord can use me, and then put Bessie, the flesh, out of the way, because I don't want to lead or add anything to God's word and lead someone in the wrong direction. That is not my intent. But I just want to say thank you. And if you would like to give us a call or text your friends, you can call in at 347-539-5078 and listen to the program. If you click 1, that gives me a signal when I go to the switchboard, and I can see who's there and know that you have something that you want to say, and we want to hear what you have to say. Don't hold back. But I certainly understand the fact that everybody really doesn't feel comfortable talking on the radio. And it is one of those great fear factors, public speaking. And, you know, it's all because of what we say to ourselves in our mind that, you know, make us think something's going to happen. What's going to happen to you? Nothing. It's like talking to a friend. But in your mind, you have a vision of something else. And I certainly understand that. I just appreciate you getting up on Saturday morning and spending time with me. Like I say, get your pen and paper, get your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and just imagine yourself sitting at the round table with me and my co-host. And we just sitting here talking and having a cup of coffee. Coffee is my choice. Some people drink tea or water, juice, and just having a conversation. And a stimulating topic this morning is one that I think all mothers and daughters of certain ages can relate to. Well, I guess my spirit says, as all the topics. I'm not trying to be modest, but we do try to get into something that people can grow from. Of course, you know, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he makes me look good. I keep telling them, you make me look good, like I'm smart, and I'm, you know, but it's not me. The Holy Spirit is working through me that speaks. And today, his topic is, Mommy, I am not a little girl anymore. Now that's deep. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. Now you think about that. That's something to think about. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a preview anyway of thoughts that were shared in my mind about that. But as we know, when I start talking, the Holy Spirit just goes into his thing, and so you're going to get more information than I can share with you at this moment. Again, for the people that are coming on, I'm Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, your host for Mothers and Daughters on Blog Talk Radio at the Round Table. I'm going to give you one announcement. Mothers and Daughters, we're having a cruise, even not November 17th, called Gina at Vacation. I think it's vacationtc.com. But her number is 813-868-0007. That's 813-868-0007. This year we have a young lady who's our chief of staff, is putting together some unique little things for the cruise. And it won't be like any other that we've had. It definitely is going to have the breakout classes and the training that was intended. So now that there's someone else that is marketing it and doing it, I'm glad about it. I'm excited to hear what some of the people are going to teach about. And so you don't want to miss this. Our goal is 100 mothers and daughters. That's the goal. Everybody's working on it. Bring your friend. All right? Thank you very much. And if you need some additional information, you can reach me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. I'd also like to thank the ambassadors. They are behind the scene working. I know we got some things going. It seems like it's just, like a whirlwind. There's so many pieces. And I look back and I look at some of the ministries that are out here and the level that they are on. And, you know, sometimes we look at it on the level now and we think, oh, it's just easy. Well, you know it's not easy. Because if it was easy, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in right now. You just move into another realm. But you can't just move into another realm. You got to faith yourself into another realm. And that's the challenge. That's why the enemy tried to get into your head. Because if he can get into your head and tell you a bunch of crazy stuff, he's going to break down your faith. Because you can't have faith and doubt at the same time. And it's so easy to just grab hold to doubt, because see, he makes it just sound so terrible. They don't like you. They don't want you to grow. Or you don't want to be with them. Come on now. And then you're right. Instead of having faith, it ain't about whether somebody like you or not. They like you fine. As long as you like Jesus, as long as Jesus like you, you just believe what he said. And everything else will be taken care of. Don't worry about people. He said the only thing, love each other. That's all he asked you to do. He didn't tell you to worry about whether they like you or not. He said love them. And if you love them and you put your faith on Jesus, they will be okay. Trust me. The Spirit will bring them under. They will not be your enemy. So take that in. I don't know where that came from, but it just came out, whoever that belongs to. You know, let's just go on. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. You're going to need a lot of faith for that one. Okay, I want to see, I don't know who's on today. I'm not on the switchboard. My co-hosts are Sandra D. Cynthia Oliver and Janice Paul Doe. Sometimes we have a special guest, Dorothy Westbrook. I don't know who's on there today. Have not gotten any notices. But anyway, get your pen and paper, sit back, relax. Now let's talk about, for weeks, our conversation has been related to a wake-up call. Now, a wake-up call is getting your attention, bringing some new information, wisdom about a certain topic. Some people call it a reality check. And it's all about what are you saying. It's all about how you're using your tongue. Because you have power in the tongue. Are you going to use that power to work against yourself? Are you going to use that power to elevate yourself? to move into that realm of prosperity that was told and given to us. It is a fight. Lord knows. And I'm fighting it as hard as I can. I am fighting to hold on to my faith, and I refuse. I told Jesus, I'm not going nowhere. And there's nothing Satan's going to do to cause me to turn. I'm not turning. I don't care what is thrown at me. I'm putting my words and my tongue on what Jesus said. You said it. I'm going to believe it. And it's got to happen. You cannot lie. It has to happen. And I'd rather go out believing that than believing that what he says is a lie, because everything else in my life would have been a lie, because that's my belief system. And it all deals with how do you use your tongue dealing with your intro conversation. You know, you have to say the right words in order to think the right words, in order to see the right vision, in order to walk into that reality. So, yes, you are walking around with a lot of power. And when it comes to our mother and daughter relationships, you heard the topic. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. Think about that. Those words, when you hear those words, you get a thought. I don't know what your thought was, but I had a thought. And then I saw a vision. She's not 6 weeks old anymore. 3 months, 3 years, 10, 18. She's a grown woman. And the power in those words, that it's letting you know, I'm ready to take over now. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Last week, our topic was, what's my mother and daughter circumstances? Part two. We did one the week before. And we talked about, can a mother and daughter circumstances be connected? You know, can a mother and daughter share the same thought or a similar situation? And we discussed that. I'm not going to go back through that heavily this week. I'm just doing that as a highlight for the people that are new this week that are coming on. That's on. Just to give you some idea of what we've been talking about. It's just, we are all connected. You can never disconnect from your mother or your daughter. That is a team that was made by God. That was a team that was brought together. You shared the same thoughts, the same air, the same blood, the same cells. You shared everything in the beginning of conception. One couldn't operate without the other. So that's a relationship that no mother or daughter can disconnect from. It's more powerful than you can ever think. That's why you're miserable when you're not together. That's why you're miserable when you're not communicating. Because you missed that. You had that. And it's nothing like hugging your baby and getting that feeling, that energy that you shared when you was carrying her inside of you. See, there's certain things that is designed by God that man cannot change. And when you get that, you'll say, okay, what do I need to do? Because you know what? I can't change it. God created it. We are a mother and daughter team. We're going to be mothers and daughters. And when we get to heaven, we're still going to be mothers and daughters, because he said we know each other. So you're still going to know that's your daughter when you get there. So why even go through all of this now? For what? You still got to deal with it when you go to heaven. Hopefully both of you get there. So think about it. There's power in that word. Well, that brings us to our topic for today. Now, it goes right back to what? Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. And like I said earlier, a mother and daughter has a circumstances. They are connected. They are connected. And you wouldn't believe this. You would not believe that my whole program just went into its own little mode, you know. The enemy's trying to interfere with this particular not going to happen. So we'll just go back and do that again. Just took my whole script and took it away. But that's okay, because there's power in this tongue, and there's power in this conversation. And he's not going to stop it, because somebody's going to get a word today. Somebody's going to get a word. Okay, here we go. Start talking to him, start trying to tell you. Who do you think you're talking to? That's right, I said it. Now that brings us to our topic today, Mommy. I am not a little girl anymore. And I said, like I said earlier, can a mother and daughter have a connected circumstances? Our topic today says yes. As a mother, we carry our daughters for 9 months. And 99% of the time in our pregnancy, we were so protective. And 99% of us carried our child for 9 months. Let me just make that clear. Sometimes people would have a child that's 7 months or, you know, 8 months is very rare, but sometimes 6 months. Those are the 1%. But 99% of the time, most mothers will carry the child for 9 months. I think all of us would agree to that. So we become very protective. That's our nature. As a mother, we are instinctive of our young, very protective, pretty much like an animal in the wild. And as we are protective and nurturing over our daughters inside of our stomachs, our womb, as they say, we grow in that protective mode on a daily basis. Because every day you are constantly reminded, because your stomach is enlarging. You see, wow. And then all of a sudden you're 6 months, and then you're 7 months, and then you're 8 months, and then 9 months, you really know you're pregnant, because a lot of times, sometimes people are having complications, or the baby's moving around and you're miserable. You can't lay down. You can't stand up. You can't sit up. You're just miserable. You just every day, Lord, is this the day? I know that sounds familiar to some people. Is this the day? Will this be the day? Will I go tomorrow? You got your bags packed. You know, you pack your bags 2 weeks because, you know, we're told that, you know, you can go 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after that date that the doctor gives us. But, you know, no one knows that date but God. And so we sit there and we wait. But we have faith because we know we're going to have a baby. We know that because we see that. And so we think, all right, well, I know. But you don't know when. You never know when. See, that's the key. You still got to have faith to get the good. So as we grow with our daughters, we build a bond. As we learn how to grow in our communications with our daughters, see, that 9 months gives you an opportunity to sit and talk to the baby and think. Even if you're not speaking verbally, you're thinking thoughts of what you need to do to prepare for that child, what nest you need to build. You know, you got to paint the room, you got to buy the clothes, you got to get this, and, you know, you're just moving around, but you're constantly thinking of that daughter, and you're constantly seeing yourself with that daughter in your arms. What are you going to do? You see her growing and coming into herself as a little girl and as a teenager, and then sometimes we even go as far as the wedding day. What it's going to look like when she gets married. This is the kind of wedding I want for my daughter. This is the school I want my daughter to go to. This is the college I want her to go to. This is the type of man I want her to marry, you know, because she is worthy of this. And so we just plan it all out. We use the words and we speak it and we plan it out, but we forget one thing. We only have a certain amount of control, okay? Now, that's the most important circumstance right there. That bonding and respect for the love that you have for each other. That's the most important circumstance maybe I should say those are the most important circumstances. The bonding of fact and the love and respect. Now, as our daughters grow up, we have 75 to 80% control over most situations in their lives. That's right, you heard me, 75 to 80%. And that's high. A lot of times, today, I don't know what mothers have. In a lot of cases, they don't have 25% control because the kids are telling them exactly what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, and they just walk on and says, you know, like, okay. I'm like, where's the mother here? Who's the mother? And if you give them control at that age, you can forget it. They already have control. But when you acknowledge that and release that, you can forget it. Don't wait till they get 18. Oh, no, I'm going to back it up. Don't wait till they get 9, 10, and 11 and then try to take the control back because you gave it to her at 2 when you thought it was real cute. When she kicked Miss So-and-so on the legs and it just kick her. And, you, honey, don't do that. And she kick her again. Stop it. Okay. She's just going to talk to me. That's all. Boom. But then she kicks somebody else. Now, you know, she's out of control. And, of course, we want to think that we have total control, but we don't as mothers. That's why you get so frustrated now when you cannot have the relationship you want with your daughter. Because what? She knows she has control. She knows she can talk to you if she wants to. And if she decides she don't want to, she don't have to. And now you have the law that protects her. What do you have? You have to have that bond. And that bond comes with love and respect. And that builds that relationship. Now, that's the truth. You really need to get to that. Get to the bottom line of what you have and what you don't have when it comes to your mother and daughter relationship and the amount of control that you have. The what we have with our daughters, if it's not love and respect, do you have? You don't have anything. You don't have a relationship except for the fact that you were created to be. But that's not what you want. You want to laugh. You want to play. You want to tease. You want to tickle your daughter. You want to hug them. You want to kiss them on the face. You want to go out to eat with them. You want to go shopping. You want to look at her and say, wow, look at God. Look what God gave me. God, I thank you. You chose me to bring this young lady into the world, and I thank you. And because of love and respect, but you, her mother, if you hold on to that from conception, she will agree 90 to 95% of the time to your request of her. She will agree to that. And I'm going to give you something in your head to think about. Think about the times when you were a young girl. I'm talking about mothers and daughters, mothers and daughters that are in their 50s or above. They call us the baby boomers. But think, when your mother said something, you had that bond, you had that respect, and you would say, yes, ma'am. Your grandmother spoke, yes, ma'am. Because what? They made sure that that bond was not broken. They made sure that you understood your position in the relationship. And they made sure you understood, most importantly, their position in the relationship. And they was not going to allow you to cross that line. So if you have less than 90, 95% agreement with your daughter, somewhere along the line, the bond was broken. Now, no one's going to have 100% because you got to allow a person to be themselves. 90, 95 is really high, but you know what? There are some mothers out there and daughters that's on that level. We all working for perfection, but there are some. And it's simply because not that they're so great, it's just that each one respects the other. Now I would venture to say that my daughter and I are in that category. Not that I'm such a good mother or greater than any other mother, it's that I know my place. And I take my place very seriously in her relationship. I know she's married. I know she has a husband. I know she has children. So when I go to her house, I'm not telling them how to run their household. That's not my place. That keeps me up there in the 95% respect. I'm not trying to take over. And sometimes we as mothers, we go into our children's lives, and then we want to control them. We want to tell them everything to do. Don't do that. Well, why are you wearing your hair like that? Well, who's that person? Well, why are you talking to her? Well, where do you know her from? Well, I don't want you dating him. He's no good. He didn't come from a good family. I mean, think about it. That's going to move you out of that 90-95% of bonding. So when you ask something of your daughter, she's going to reject you because what? She's going to look at it. There you go again, trying to tell me how to run my life. Now, I'm not talking about a 7-8-year-old little girl. I'm talking about adult daughters at this moment. And even when they are 7 or 8, they still have control. And you know it, and I know it. But we have to let them know, I know you have a certain amount of control because God gave it to them, and ain't nothing you can do about it. And I take you back to a time when you think back when, and I always use this as an example, 3 months old. I was trying to feed my baby some peas, and I used that as an example. And I'd give it a little, you know how you get the little the peas that's in a little jar, and you warm it up, and green peas at that. And I would give it to her, and she, head going to right to left, I said, come on, eat the peas for mommy, I try to put a little applesauce in it, you know, to fool her, And each time she spit it out. And I'm thinking, this girl has got to have some vegetables. She's got to eat some peas. Would not eat it. What was I going to do? She was 3 months old. Couldn't spank her. Couldn't make her eat it. So I had to put the peas aside. And to this day, she does not eat beans. Peas, she don't eat them to this day. She knew at 3 months old she didn't like it. And she doesn't eat, she may eat green beans and that's it. No garden peas, no butter beans, none of the other, you know the pinto, none of that. No beans. And I tried to get her as she was growing up. You need to have your vegetables. Collards, she would do the leafy green. But at 3 months old, she said no. And there was nothing I could do to make her do that. So I know a lot of you are from probably the old school, and you might say, no, not my daughter. If I say it, that's what she's going to do. Well, you can have that approach, and you can fight for that relationship because what you're doing is a tug of war. She's fighting for her freedom. She's fighting for her choices to live her life, to make her mistakes, to grow and have her own testimony, just like you fought your mother. You did it. You wanted to have your own testimony. And just think about it. From generation to generation, her daughter's going to fight her for control because we come so accustomed to being in control. We have control from conception, we think. But God built everybody with their own mechanism. He gave each person their own control switch. And there's nothing nobody else can do about that. All we can do is work together. So, now, we talked about the 3 months old. Remember when she was 3 years old? Now, let's just think about your daughter when she was 3 months. And you try to get her to do something, and she wouldn't. And then, remember when she was 3 years old and you wanted her to do a certain thing, and she wouldn't? Even after you punished her, she still did it again. and you keep saying, why is she doing that? Did I not punish her for that same thing? And she did it again. And then she was, remember when she was 13 years old and you wanted her to come home right after school, you said, come straight home, don't stop, don't do anything else, you come straight home. Okay. And then later to find out what? She did not come straight home. Even after you punish her, she did it again. Can you see the picture? You understand what I'm saying? It has always been a struggle for control. That's the nature of a person. So we have to learn as mothers how to work inside of that. We can't take control. We can't make a person do, but we have to align ourselves through love, unconditional love, so that we can keep the communication going, so that we can plant the seeds in their mind and they will receive them. And the seeds are the words. Because if you don't have that relationship or that bond, that love and respect, your seeds are not going to be planted in good ground. It's going to be planted on rocks. And Jesus gave you a parable about that. And most of you Christians, you know that. You plant a seed in rocks, it's not going to grow. You got to have good ground. That mind has to be cultivated with love and respect, with listening, understanding, reasoning, all of that when she's coming up to 3 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, 10. So when she becomes a teenager, you have planted enough seeds that she's going to think about it. Now, you can't be out there doing anything and everything you want to do and think you got some good seeds to plant. That's not going to work either. So you don't have good ground. You don't have good seed. You got some messed up relationships. It's a work. Not a given. It's a work. And you got to work at it. Now I remember when she was 18 and you wanted her to stop dating that boy, the one that you don't like, the one that you think is taking her down the wrong road. He's not good enough for her. I raised you up to be better than this. You know, hey. So you punish her, and she goes out with him again. And you says, I just don't know. She just will not listen to me. I'm telling her. And each time, she goes out with him again. And that takes you to what? Remember when she let you know that she was grown and that she wanted to make her own decisions for her life. And that takes us back to the stimulating topic for today. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. What are your thoughts? I'm going to open up the switchboard. That should be food for your soul. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Doing great. I'm just enjoying this topic my own self. You know, sometimes you say, wow, that's like preaching to me. I think that's something I need to take on the road. Mommy, I'm not a little girl anymore. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, my thoughts on that today is, it is true. You know, I don't have daughters. I do have sons. But when we tend to relinquish the control, we do show a lack of respect for our daughters or sons. Because, and it's just a thing with women in general, women like to be in control. We like to think we're in control. I'll put it that way. And we do it out of a couple of reasons. We do it out of past experience, and we do it sometimes out of fear. We fear to let go. But at some point, as a mother, you have to, just like we trust God for them, we've got to learn to trust God with them. And when they become a certain age, it's just time to allow them to grow. And when you neglect to allow a person to grow, he or she is not going to have that understanding that you're talking about as being a mature young woman or a mature young man. Because they have not had that freedom to grow, and they are going to make mistakes, but it's their mistakes to be made. And I wanted to say I'm sitting here with Ms. Chipman this morning. We're doing a sit down around the table, and so you know, as a mother, you just got to know when to say when, and just let them go and let God take over as far as their guidance. Because if they have to continue to come to us, guess what? They never have to go to God. And therefore,
Amen.
They neglect to grow in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do show a lack of, I think you show a lack of respect and a lack of confidence in what you have done as a mother when you neglect to allow them to go out and become. Because if you've done your job, you ain't got to worry about them going astray. And even if they go astray, they will come back. But here's the thing, when you hold on too tight, they will get buck wild when they get the first opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thought.
Oh, and that's a great thought, too. Thank you. The one thing that I like what you just said was that when you praying for them, then you got to pray with them. I didn't say quite the way you were saying it, but that's a good thought. Because when they're little, we're praying for them. So when they become adults, then we got to learn to pray with them and let them know I'm with you, you know. And it's not a bad thing. You have to look at the fact that we are part of that same creation, and we really don't like for people to try to control us, you know. If you get somebody in your life that try to control you, you immediately feel resistance. So with that being said, I thank you for calling in. Did your lady at the round table want to say something? Was it Miss Whitman, you said? Hello? I think we got cut off here. Oh. Somehow or another, I lost Cynthia. But basically, I agree with her. We have to understand that, you know, we only have a certain amount of control. I think she's back here. Okay, you there? Cynthia?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We got to cut off. The switchboard, I mean, I wish the audience could see the switchboard. The enemy must be very angry. He took my script and tried to just move it out the way, and then now the switchboard is doing something I've never seen it done before. Just stuff just going everywhere. Numbers are popping in, popping out. So bear with me.
I on my end, though, I think it was my error. But
no,
yeah,
I'm saying I said, did your guest want to speak? Want to share her thoughts?
Yes. Hold on. Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just sitting here listening to the show, and it was very, very, very moving. And it's true. You hit some key points on, you know, we as parents. I happen to have two daughters, and was a single mother for quite some time with raising them. However, it is true. You have to be able to, as a mother, we instill things in them, and we have to instill and believe with our faith and trust in God. When we let them go, if we don't allow them to make decisions and then be able to come to us for us to redirect them on a right path, they're never going to know. But if we shelter them, and not allow them to fall or stumble, they're never going to have an opportunity to learn. And that's something we can't do as parents. Yes, and it's all because we as women are natural nurturers anyway. And that's who we are. That's our DNA. But and controlling. But at the same time, we still have to allow them to grow. But then when we have baggage, too, a lot of our baggage, we can bring that onto our kids where we're trying to protect them from the mistakes that we made. I know I'm guilty of not being controlling, but really wanting to be there in everything that my kids and help them avoid the mistakes. And then, you know, as they get to a certain age, they'll tell you, Mom, you know, I need to do this, back off or whatever. And you have to respect that. It's not that they're being disrespectful. They're saying, listen, you instilled in me, you have to trust me, and you have to trust them. And if you don't,
yes,
then you are going to lose that relationship that you have with them. And once they become on their own or go away to college, because they're so free and have so much freedom and didn't have a chance to have freedom prior, that's when the young girls get into being so submissive and things of that nature, because they never had an opportunity for you to trust them to give them that direction, you know?
Yeah, that is so true. And then most of the times they don't want to come home. They get busy. Well, Mama, you can't come home at spring break. Well, why you can't come home, honey? Well, see, I got this test and I got to study for this. Those are just excuses because they don't want to come home because they know you're going to do what? Try to control them.
You're going to question them and control them and try to, and you know, and it's true because when kids go to college, they don't have curfews and things of that nature. They come in and the times that they want, basically. And when they come
right
home on spring break, and I know when my daughters used to come home, by 1 o'clock I'm calling them, hey, where you guys at? You know, well, you should be home. They're not used to that when they're away in college. So you're right.
Right.
They don't want to.
Right. They don't want to hear that.
Nope. But I want to thank you for an opportunity to speak. And like I said, I enjoyed listening to the show. I was speaking to Cynthia when you were talking about the controlling part. I said, Cynthia, I said, you have to let Dr. Fletcher know that she has to do a show on daughters trying to control their mother's lives. I think that's a very interesting topic.
Why don't you be our guest next week, and we'll do that next Saturday.
Okay, a lot of our children have those issues when mommies are trying to live, and now the roles are reversed. Now they're trying to control the mommy.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And you know what? And the older you get, the more they think you don't know. And don't hit 50, because then they're ready to put you away. They really become. All right, thank you. You want to tell the audience who you are? You're a wonderful photographer and doing some wonderful things. Just give them your website, and they can go and check you out.
This is Dr. Fletcher.
Oh, she's gone.
This
okay.
Is, I'm sorry. This is Tangela Chipman. She's a police officer.
I thought I was thinking of a CC. She sounds like CC
no,
there for a moment.
No.
Okay. All right. Now I know who I'm talking to. I knew the voice. Thank you, Tangela.
Yes,
it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you for those. You guys have a great day.
Okay. Thank you.
I love you.
Love you too.
All right. Hello, 404.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
This is Jana. I'm doing great.
Good, Jana. How you doing? Nice to have you on the line. What are your thoughts on mommy?
Well,
I'm not a little girl anymore.
Well, I just want to shout out my mom, Janice Pardo. I want to say I love her. And I just want to say that she talked to me, and she had to talk to me, and I'm growing up, and, you know, I'm maturing, and I'm letting my hurt go, and I was being held back a lot because I was holding on to so much from when I was bullied in school, and you know, I care so much what people thought about me and my confidence. And, you know, because when you don't have confidence and when you don't have no self-esteem, it shows, you know, it shows in everything you do. And I was hurting, so I was hurting others and didn't know. I couldn't see that I was hurting others because I was hurting. And the first thing is to admit it. And you have to admit the truth and stuff. So I just want to say, if there's any girls that's listening to this show, you know, you need your mom. And sometimes you got to have a talk. You got to have that talk. You know, I'm not a mother, but, you know. But anyway, you know, and sometimes you got to have that talk for them to really see. And I couldn't really see a reflection of myself. And, you know, I'm 25 now, and now I'm just going to start looking myself in the mirror and telling myself I am a woman, you know, so that can help me mature too. So shout out to my mom. She used to always ask me, am I listening to this show? And I used to be like, no, because I was just so hurt. You know, I was so hurt. I cared so much what people thought about me, but I don't care no more. I'm talented. I'm confident, you know, because, I mean, you can be, you know, someone that's not civil, but your confidence is everything. And when you got confidence, you can show out, you know. So, you know, I'm working on that, you know. And it was just a lesson. So, yeah. So now I'm listening to this show every Saturday. And I used to always try to get people to help me, but I had to first help myself and get out of the denial.
Oh, wow. That is so beautiful. You know, I thank you. And let me say something to you. Every mother and daughter out there that's listening, we all can relate to that. You know, we go through those journeys of self-esteem, and I do a lot of things, and I still fight to make sure that my self-esteem is high. Some days, you know, and I'll give an example, some days you get up, you look in the mirror, and you be like, golly, what's going on? You know, you don't think you look good, and that's that conversation. But you're the same person you was yesterday. And then the next thing, you can get up and look in the mirror, and you look like, look out, world, here I come, kind of a thing. So, you know, it's all about how we think and how we process our own self-worth. So I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you came to those conclusions. And, you know, it's just your testimony to help somebody else. You're a writer.
Right.
You have things on that you're going to be in front of other people. You can't help somebody else if you hadn't gone through something yourself. So take whatever it was you went through and the journeys that you went through and help somebody else come through. That's why I get up on Saturday morning. It's not that I know everything. It's not that I'm perfect. I'm learning. I learn lessons during the week, and then the Lord just used my mouth on Saturday to speak. That's all we're here for, is to be an extension of the work that Jesus Christ has started. We're not here to start a work. We're here to finish a work. And then when you can get that, you'll stop worrying about what other people think about you and say, okay, Lord, why did you send me here, and what am I supposed to be doing for you? So I appreciate you, and God bless you. I love you. Hold on to what you have, because you cannot prosper without your mother. It is not going to happen. You design a mother-daughter relationship for a reason. And when you have your babies, that's when reality really sits in. So God bless you. I love you. And I look forward to having you on Saturday morning.
Okay, let me know if you want to interview me. You know, I just dropped the book.
Okay, I can do that too. All right?
Okay.
All right, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, God is good. He is good. And, you know, Satan's so busy trying to steal our children that, you know, as mothers, you keep praying. And that's a prime example of a mother that we hear on the radio every Saturday morning with us. She's not with us this morning, and she had to go to a funeral. That's Janice Paldo, my co-host. That's her daughter. And they have gone through interesting conversations and their relationships, and God is just bringing it right on out. You cannot go past what God said. You just keep the word going, because what she did was plant the seeds. When this child was young, she planted the seeds. She had her mind right. Satan will try to steal, because he knows that this young lady has so much potential, and she can reach women all over the world, families all over the world. So what do? You try to stop that. That's what Satan wants to do, is to stop her from delivering that message. So you come in with these crazy conversations and situations to confuse our young women so that they can't grow and prosper, like self-esteem. That's his main thing for young people, is to try to make you think you're not good enough, or find somebody who can pick on you and break you down so your thoughts won't be fruitful. And you just, like we talked about last week, going around in circle, going around the mountain, round and round and round, and never coming out of Egypt. Why? Because we're saying the same old thing, and expecting a different result. You're not coming out. 40-year journey,
could walk out in 12 days. And like I said, complaining and murmuring. I hear them. And as long as you're complaining and murmuring, I don't care how you dress it up, I don't care what you name it, you're never coming out of Egypt. You're going to continue your whole life going around that mountain. But when you stop complaining and you stop murmuring and don't dress it up, I'm just talking. I'm not really talking about anybody. I'm really not gossiping. What I'm just doing, I'm just going to share this with you. And I don't want you to tell nobody else. Now, you keep that to yourself because it's between me and you. God is listening. It's not between me and you. It's between me and you and God. And he hears you. And he knows that you're murmuring. He knows that you're complaining. He knows that you're talking about people. So you ain't never coming out of Egypt. You're going to stay there until you change your words, until you shut your mouth. So that's the 12-day challenge we put on everybody last week. Shut your mouth. Stop talking about people. Stop saying negative things about your daughter and your mother. You want to be successful? Shut your mouth. Don't let Satan use your mouth to keep you in Egypt, because he'll tell you things in your ear, and he'll keep saying it until it comes out of your mouth. He knows once you get it out of your mouth, it's like a bullet shot. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. It's gone. And there you go again on another treadmill around that mountain. So we have until the 5th. Our 12th day will be to the 5th. And not that I've been perfect with it, but the minute I found myself complaining, and some things I didn't realize was complaining. I just thought I was talking. But when God said, no, you're not just talking, you're complaining. Anytime you got to remind me 10 times about what I'm supposed to do, I heard you the first time. That's complaining. That's not faith. Faith is you tell me, I got it. I'm going to do it. It's already done. Trust that. Don't come back to me and ask me the same thing again. That's complaining. So think about little cute ways that Satan will talk you into saying, oh, no, that's not what that is. See, what you're doing is different. See, you ain't complaining, just sharing your heart. You're just letting them know how you feel. Well, God said to me, just like he said to Moses, do they not hear? Know that I hear them? And most importantly, Bessie, do you not know that I hear you with your innovative ways of murmuring and complaining and expecting to walk out of Egypt? So, for the past week, I told you guys I'd give you a report today. For the past week, did I murmur and complain? Yes. But what I did was I was quick. I solicited the Holy Spirit. I said, whenever it comes out of my mouth, I want you to remind me quickly. And just as it was coming out of my mouth each time, the Holy Spirit would remind me, and I would repent. He said, repent quickly. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Please forgive me. Now, if I continue to do that, eventually I'm going to come out of Egypt. Because what I'm going to do is then I'm going to walk my way out. It's going to be like the mule and the well. They thought, we can't get the mule out of the well. So the guy said, well, I tell you what we'll do. Let's just throw dirt on him. We'll just cover him up because we can't get him out. Let's just bury him down there in the well. So everybody got the shoveling dirt onto the little mule in the well. And every time they shove a dirt on that mule would shake it off. And he'd step up. He'd shake it off. And eventually they shoved so much dirt in the well to the mule just literally walked out. So that's the only way you're going to get out of Egypt. You got to shove so much word, and you got to repent quickly, and eventually you'll find yourself out of Egypt into the promised land. And what is the promised land? Living in the fullness of God's word. What he said for you, you will experience here on earth. So we got to the 5th. Next week we'll give another report. I like for some of you guys out there to give a report next week on what happened on your journey of coming out of Egypt into the promised land. God bless you. Have a great week. It was an excellent, excellent show. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's lovely.